It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this Thursday, the third day of August, 2023. Why is that woman giggling? This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you want to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between, and the great globe round, and probably even on Norblap 9. Yeah. And if you do pop in to the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Theo out in Oregon. Hey, Theo. And Squeaky in California. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, also in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. Your humble hostess decided to time travel last night, and some of you caught it and let me know. I have no idea why I screwed up the Podbean upload like I did. I mean, it uploaded. It's just it uploaded into the future. That's why it says Thorn in the Side Thursday. Huh. But it was really prayer meeting Wednesday. I think it's because I didn't get to do any prayer meeting stories. So the goddess of irony decided to tweak me on my little pink tomato nose. That's my best guess. But I will correct it this evening when I put up. Or I could just call this one prayer meeting Wednesday and everybody would be as up in the head as I am. Oh. That's okay. My favorite part of the day is here. These 3 hours, these three precious hours that I get to share with y'all. And I enjoy them immensely, and I enjoy your company, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you do to keep this program going and everything that everyone has done to keep it going for damn near two decades. That's pretty freaking amazing. Let's see, how many months? Okay, well, 1, 2, 3. We're 5.5 months from our 19th anniversary. And we've passed my 20th anniversary returning to radio. And that feels like quite an accomplishment. And the fact that we've turned out and I don't mean me, I mean we. You know, the commentary y'all bring, the humor, the knowledge has contributed to this being one of the most engaging, intelligent, and I dare say enjoyable programs in progressive media. We're serious when we need to. We're zany when we need to. We're positively loopy sometimes, whether we need to be or not. And I don't mean me and that mouse in my pocket. I mean all of us. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So as a consequence of that, Thanks go out to our third day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you ever so kindly to John. Thank you, John. And thank you to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you to Bill in Allentown. Thank you so much. Thanks one and all for being partial sponsors of the program. Every time you hear the opening music, if you are a subscriber or an a la carte contributor, if you're on PayPal or Patreon or Venmo, or if you participate via the United States Postal Service to the Horn Post Office Box, the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801, you know that you are one of the reasons why a very rare, non-capitalist, non-commercial broadcast operation exists. And it's amazing, and it keeps me humble. Well, thank you. Thank you, Lee. Lee says, the start of 3 hours with you, the community appreciates all you do. The prior hour wasn't too bad either. Well, thank you. Thank you. And so, and we all need a good giggle, and I told Annette I would share this because it was just a moment. I hit the ground running very early today. I had to take my daughter to an appointment, and then I had a to-do list. And on the way back from her apartment, Thursday is Farmer's Market Day in Oak Hill. And I stopped by my favorite baker's stand. Oh, my God, she makes the best bread. She's Swedish. And she makes a Swedish rye to die for. And I figure if I'm, you know, I can't have a lot. So if I'm going to have bread, you know, my little limited allotment of carbohydrates, I'm going to get the good stuff. And so I got a corn pone and a loaf of her homemade sourdough for my daughter. I also went over and got her a garden fresh tomato, and we talked the finer points of BLTs and the glory of a little bit of horseradish spread on it instead of mayo. And I got myself a loaf of a corn pone and a loaf of Irene's sourdough bread. Salt Risin bread. And that's an Appalachian classic, hard to find. I don't know anybody else that makes it besides her. And it is heavenly, and it's got an aroma unlike any other bread you've ever smelled. And it toasts just magically. And stopped and got a head of lettuce and some bacon. I already had the horseradish bread. Got some cheese. And got some avocados. Well, they're not really avocados. They're little green baseballs. They're like tiny hand grenades. And, you know, I told Annette, I said, I got us some avocados that we can watch go bad, because that's how it always happens. I get a bag of avocados, and I get up every morning, and I check them to see if they're ripe. And eventually, I will get up and check to see if they're ripe, and they will have been hard, and then one magic morning, I'll get up, and I'll check them, and they'll be done. They'll just be ruined. So then I walk them over to the garbage can and throw them away. Actually, it's the compost pile. I hope it doesn't play out that way, because I love avocado on a BLT, which makes it a blat. That's usually the way it plays out. And I cannot wait to have it on that salt rising bread. I may have that for breakfast in the morning. A little food porn to start the program, because we haven't food porned a whole lot lately. By the way, the fundraising goal for this evening, it is $550. And anything we can do to knock a little bit of that down will be wonderful. It'd be great to pay all the bills early in the month, and then maybe if we get a deficit or something, then I won't be quite so morose and freaked out. And I'm crossing my fingers that this is the month that I can buy health insurance. That's my wish. So anyway, what's that, Randy? Randy Radar. Try a torn-up BLT in a large bowl with ranch dressing. That way it doesn't go down the front of your blouse. Oh, Randy, you know me too well. Usually I just say a prayer. Yeah, I'm into ancestor cults. And usually the best way for me to keep anything off the front of my top is just to say, "Hi, Dad," because I got that proclivity from him. On many occasions, he would put on a clean, and all he had to do was put on a clean white T-shirt and try to drink a cup of coffee, and it would have coffee down the front, and he would yell at himself, "Kenneth!" So I just check in and say, "Hey, Dad," and he makes sure that he doesn't dump food down my blouse, and doggone it, it works. So I think it means he accepts me. But. It's a fine idea. I like to cut my BLTs in quarters. You know, little tiny, manageable segments. Well, I've created a question. Cornpone asks Ralphs. Yes, cornpone, which is decidedly not sourdough or cornbread. Sourdough on the brain. Cornpone is an ancient Appalachian, and maybe elsewhere, but Appalachian, I call it a delicacy or a delight, but it was a staple back in the day, because it's got protein, and it's got carbs, and it's got energy, caloric energy. And it's the cool thing is the recipe that I have was passed down through the generations. A woman deep in my family history on my mom's side. The recipe would go from her to one woman in the next generation who was not allowed to share it. And she would share it with one woman in the next generation. And curiously enough, my grandmother passed it to my mother, and my mother, and this was way deep in the before time, passed it to me, and not to my sister, any of them. So I don't know. It's kind of like Dad not throwing food as long as I say something to him. Just little mysteries, you know. But cornpone is a two-day process to make. And, let me see. Ralph's is serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Cornpone Research Department. Let me see if this recipe looks like it. No, those are not cornpones. I can tell you already they're not. Those are more like corn dodgers. A cornpone is dense. Usually you make it in a big, deep, fluted pan. You know, the one that has, like, the little pilgrim's hat bottom that comes out. A bundt pan will suffice. And on day one, it begins with scalding milk. And simply learning to scald milk and not scorch it is an art form in and of itself. Took me forever to not fuck that up. And you want whole milk, not buttermilk. And sugar, and you need some cornmeal that does not some cornmeal that's freshly ground that still has the germ on the whole kernel cornmeal that still has the germ on it because there are wild yeasts there. And basically, you build it and you make cornmeal mush out of it. And then you're done for the day. And you set it in a warm place, like on your water heater, with a moist tea towel over it. Leave it for a day, and it ferments. The next day, you build up the rest of the batter, and then you bake it. And it's got sugar and molasses and eggs and flour, but mostly that self-same cornmeal. Fresh out of the oven, it's heavenly. And it has the specific density of uranium-238. That's why it was such a staple in the way back. And what you do is once it cools, again, you put a wet tea towel around it. It's big. And you keep it somewhere cool. If you've got an ice box or a refrigerator back then, you would keep it there. And so when the men folk would get up in the morning, the women would cut thick slices of this, fry it in butter or bacon grease, and then put a sunny side up fried egg on top of it. And that alone would keep him going out in the fields or wherever, at least until lunch. It's powerful. So I got those. And I got my salt rising bread. I'm terribly happy. And don't worry, we're going to get to the news of the day. Everybody in the country. Everybody in the country is talking about Nitwit Nero, and I'm sure we will follow suit. But, you know, anyway, I was running all my errands, and I like to bounce around in hairstyles and lengths, so I have some wigs. And I had one that was just the wrong color. I was hoping it wouldn't be, but it just looked like crap on me because it's the wrong color. And I had taken it to my stylist and my colorist to have her dye it for me. And she said, oh, no, I can't do that. Cost a fortune. And I don't want to do that to you. And she's a brilliant artist. True pro. Big shout out. I know a lot of girls around here and a lot of guys, too, because she's talented in both styles. And she runs a shop, and it's fantastic, called Get Faded and Dyed, which is a cute and catchy name. So, talking to Annette, and she said, the long one, is that the one that the woman over at Curl Up and Dye said she couldn't do? And I said, yeah, no. And I fell apart in paroxysms of laughter, similar to what happened to me when Scott started talking about the monkey working the math problem. I was crippled. I was dead. And I said, my God, woman, that right there is enough to make me want to go to cosmetology school, learn to do hair, just so I can open up a shop called Curl Up and Dye, Robin's Hair Fashions, for the chronically depressed. Curl Up and Dye. Maybe it was funnier the first time, but... Want to get your hair done, honey? Yeah, I'm going to go over to Curl Up and Dye. Maybe you had to be there. Thank you very kindly to Christopher via Venmo getting me started. Great show thus far. I know. Fingers are crossed. Right, Christopher? We can only hope. And as I learned in Ted Lasso, it's the hope that kills you. Suman said, your allotment of bread sounds positively socialist. Liberal talk show radio host advocates for bread allotment. It's more like diabetic talk radio host advocate. It's not so much advocating. It's a matter of, I better. But it does make me feel a little bit commie, I must admit. And oh my God, we watched a movie last. It was a 2017 film. I had never seen it before. I ran across it. And again, if you have not seen The Death of Stalin, with Steve Buscemi as Nikita Khrushchev, and the cast features Jeffrey Tambor, pre-transparent, and Michael Palin, and it all centers around the 17 or so hours after Stalin croaks. It's a dark comedy, and oh my God, is it good! So maybe it's running on Hulu. Ralphs says she is offering a $25 challenge for Drump's arraignment. Arrangement. Yeah, I just love playing with that.
They arranged me. I'm going to be arrested.
Which brings me to the note that I received earlier from Matt in San Francisco. This morning would have been, oh my goodness gracious, quarter to seven Matt's time out in San Francisco. Subject line, every man Donald Trump. Anyone who has ever left their beach resort and boarded their private plane, surrounded by Secret Service protection, to fly to D.C., to take their motorcade to the basement of a courthouse and ride up in the back elevator to be arraigned and released on their own recognizance, can really identify with this two-tiered justice system that is persecuting 45. Ain't that the truth? And here's a 6:45 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time cowbell for you, Matt in San Francisco. Yeah.
I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you.
Well, maybe I could find... I hear real estate values are falling in San Francisco, Matt, so maybe I could put my shop in there. Matt tells me, curl up and die? There's a nail salon on Castro Street named Handjob. Tell me that wouldn't be a 1-2 punch. Yeah, I'm going to go get a hand job and curl up and die. I'm sorry. I'm just feeling a little silly. Okay, Annette gets a cowbell from Lee. Curl up and die deserves it. Thanks, Annette. Thank you, Lee. That was very generous of you. I will tell her that she got her very own cowbell this evening. Okay, let's get something resembling serious. By the way, accompanying Geezer discussed us in D.C. today was Boris Epstein. I think I'm going to have my hopes dashed. I think I'm going to have my heart broken. But as Lou, who has stayed on top of this, yeah, it may be Boris Epstein. Lou asks, And what if, before the election, Trump gets a hung jury or is found innocent? Well, first thing, Lou, this is a trial taking place in the United States of America. Neither he nor anyone else has ever or will ever be found innocent by a jury. He may be found not guilty, which is an indication that the prosecution has failed to meet its burden of proof of proving him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of the crimes charged. That's why it would be helpful from a civic standpoint if we had more of these legal experts, and I'm not taking away from any of them. A lot of them are really, really super sharp, and I was never anything but a simple dumb country lawyer. But it would be helpful to explain to whatever portion of the American public there is that's actually interested in ideas of civics and government, to explain to them that an entire grand jury has already found that it is more likely than not that the four crimes charged were committed, and that it's more likely than not that Donald Trump committed them. It would be beneficial to say that, because that's not an argument. That is the absolute honest and God's unfly-blown truth. That is the definition of an indictment, the definition of what is referred to in legal language as a true bill. And every indictment that issues in any court, in any case, is that finding. Okay? I'm not trying to be preachy or anything. And I know y'all know this. This is more like, let's talk about it in these terms. Not just me, but in your social media posts, in your conversations with your neighbors, in the conversation in the grocery store or at the Rippy Mart or the post office. You know, you're just chatting with somebody.
You know, the weaponized federal government is persecuting that poor Donald Trump.
Well, you know, a jury has already found it more likely than not that those four crimes were committed, and it's more likely than not that he's the one who committed the crimes. So all we got to do now is run it up a notch, two notches actually, and prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well, I got a reasonable doubt.
Well, yeah, but you got one of your toenail clippings between your teeth too, Cletus. That would be helpful. But still, Lou, what if he's found not guilty of Jack Smith's charges? Then he's not guilty. And the government did not meet its burden of proof. But given that, as we have discussed over the course of the past 2 days, that so-called speaking indictment has evidence behind it for every word in it, and they are words that are going to be damnably difficult for Donald Trump to disprove. And he doesn't have to disprove. He can refuse to take the stand at all. And again, we are back to the thing that we have talked about in the past, namely that no lawyer that wants to keep their law license so that they can maybe someday, hopefully, go back to being counsel for a parking garage will ever do. Put him, their client, on the stand. Because by the time the trial is over, their law license will have folded itself into a paper airplane and gone zipping out the window to the local bar association for action thereupon. It's possible, but he doesn't have a single lawyer who is of the quality and caliber of the prosecutorial team. They just aren't. And so all the blather out there now is Idiotus Maximus babbling,
I was exercising my free speech rights.
But the problem is that's already dealt with in the indictment. The early paragraphs of the indictment are a recitation of the rights that the First Amendment rights that Donald Trump had, and of which he availed himself, and which were absolutely, completely, totally, beyond not only a reasonable doubt but a shadow of a doubt, legal and unassailable in, as West Virginia, make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice would say, unassailable in any way, shape, form, or fashion. The problem is what happens when you cross the line. And so that is why it will be so absolutely necessary for people like Mike Pence and Bill Barr to prosecution, and Mark Meadows, and to testify, as they apparently already have, and the documents indicate, that they told him over and over and over and over again between November the 3rd, or November the 4th, and what, November the 14th, 17th, that, you know, sorry, boss, we really wanted you to win, but you got your ass handed to you. And the further testimony that he said,
yeah, I know. It makes me very sad. Maybe I could go over to Clarence's house and curl up naked next to him there in the bed. Well, maybe I'll just curl up in my own bed naked and suck my thumb and cry for a while.
So, Lou says, well, if he's found not guilty or there's a hung jury, it might rocket Trump right back into the presidency. It might. It might. And, yeah, now they're talking about polls out there that show Nitwit Nero and President Biden tied at 43%. And honestly, Lou, it's a risk that we as a republic have no choice but to take. Because to let him go unchallenged with what he did to this country on and before January the 6th, 2021, would be the end of us as a country. Remember, please, we've said it so many times, after the terrorist attack, that an insurrection unpunished is a dress rehearsal for the next one. And you know, there's a certain angle where we can look at it and say, yeah, that's what we found out after 1865. You know, after the Civil War ended, confiscating plantations and giving them to the people whose labor had been stolen from them as recompense therefor. Well, do you realize that if that had happened, the word reparations would never have been heard in this country in the last 20 years or any of the preceding years after 1865? Because reparations would have been made. And that may have been the ultimate goal of Reconstruction, but, well, John Wilkes Booth put paid to that, and a pro-slavery asshole from Tennessee by the name of Andrew Johnson made sure that Lincoln's vision never came true. and then Rutherford B. Hayes, who was allowed to become president by the Congress of the United States over Samuel B. Tilden, or Samuel Tilden, I don't know if he was B, in exchange for ending Reconstruction and enactment of the Posse Comitatus Act, made sure that the horrors of that war and the vile, hateful institution that occasioned it would continue to ripple out like a pebble thrown into a giant, still pond. So that's where we find ourselves. By the way, note coming in, going back to the food porn for just a minute. My sister Cynthia says, subject line food. Xenophobic maggots don't know what the hell they're missing. I love vanilla, and I love chocolate too, not to mention all the other flavors. I love food from all around the world, even if it's often Americanized here. In the Bay Area, I have options for all sorts of different cuisines from different cultures, and it's wonderful. I love Southern cooking, sure, but I love Mexican and Indian and German and Chinese and Japanese and Korean and Vietnamese. Ooh, Vietnamese. Oh, my. No wonder I'm gaining weight. Same. That's one of the nice things when I get to a major metropolitan area, otherwise known as going down to the settlements for provisions. And I'm not talking about here. I always avail myself. One cuisine that you left out, Balkan cuisine, Cynthia. There's a place in D.C. There are two locations. One on, I think, Wilson Road in maybe Arlington. And another up on Barracks Row on Capitol Hill. And it's called Ambar. And it's Balkan, and as long as you sit at one of the little tables in the bar, all you can eat for, like, $30. And there's a lot to eat. Great heavenly days, I had no idea Balkan cuisine was so good. You know, what was his name? The Chancellor of Germany in the late 19th century. Said, the whole of the Balkans is not worth the bones of one Pomeranian grenadier. He apparently hadn't had the food. German food? Love German food, Cynthia. Love Indian. Love Mexican. It'd be nice to get some. We're getting closer to real Mexican. We got a place that's pretty good. Central American, Salvador. I'm very lucky to have a friend from El Salvador who is a chef, and what a chef he is. All the pupusas he used to make. Samuel J. Tilden, thank you, Lee in New York, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Samuel J. Tilden Research Department. Bismarck, thank you, Lou. Bismarck. Y'all are so helpful. I appreciate you. And thank you to Scary Jerry jumping in on the fundraising and on the Drump Arraignment Challenge by Ralphs. I thought you were in the reruns talking about corn pone. Corn porn. Did you mean to say corn porn, Jerry? Because if you did, I give you a cowbell for that. In fact, curses and exhalations were directed at the holiest goddess, the goddess of water. Ironica was on standby. Anyways, I'm putting $5 in the curse jar because I used the B word. In 2008, the B was in vogue and trendy. In 2023, I'm realizing the B is now in the naughty, is in the naughty file, so I will make penance. Curl up and die is goated. It's equal to or better than the Math Monkey. In fact, in honor of Scott, if I win the Mega Millions or find some square grouper on the way to Cayo Hueso, Well, so I'm going to open a hair salon, curl up and die. And meanwhile, die in a jail during a prison riot about missing ketchup, orange tumor, motherfucker. Well, Jerry, what a handsome dude. Good photo. You clean up real nice, as we say. So, working backwards. Lee in New York says, indictment, Jack Smith is a competent prosecutor who can indict a ham sandwich, or in the case of Nitwit, a Big Mac. A really big, big Mac. The biggest Mac.
The biggest Mac anyone ever ordered. Believe me.
Signed, Lee, ruining dinner well beyond New York City. Let's see. See if we're getting any closer to a picture of Corn Pone. Hey, close, but at least as I had it, Ralph's, it was much thicker. And a slice was more like a slice of pound cake. Steve in New York with how to ripen avocados. Paper bag with flour. Make sure they're coated with the flour. They'll ripen in about 1 to 1.5 days. Oh, my. And me without a paper bag. Okay, I'll try it. Steve adding the latest Trump-branded product, Trump adult diapers, for those poopiest situations.
Believe me.
And let's see here. Anything else? Oh, Steve. I really wanted to do a challenge tonight, but the $826 vet bill tapped me out. Oh, your kitty cat, your kitty, you did the right thing. Your fur baby needs to come first. Oh, yeah. I not only have those dreams, have you ever had these dreams? I still do, Steve says. I dreamed I actually found out I failed a class in law school, but they let me graduate, and I found out 20 years later. I thought I failed the bar exam until I actually looked and saw that I passed. Yeah, that was my experience. Oh, my God, we're back into 40-year-old shared trauma again. Yeah, I actually dream that I'm back in law school. And I know it's not law school, but there's a reference in a Dan Fogelberg song that just popped into my head, and I don't appreciate it. Thank you. The biggest Mac, says Emilio. Yeah, that Mac that's fallen behind the driver's seat over a year ago and no one remembered. It doesn't rot. It just keeps getting desiccated a la butterscotch candies. Yeah, yeah. Of course, Morgan Spurlock, I think it was, who did the experiment where he just bought a McDonald's cheeseburger and deliberately set it on his dresser, and the damn thing wouldn't rot. There's your preservatives. All right. Headline, chocolate rations decreased. No! Thanks, Randy Radar. So, yeah, there's $20 to go on Ralph's challenge, and Chris got us started. So we are at $540. If the challenge is met, we'll be down to $490. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. It really is. It's time to get serious. Do some damn news. I mentioned how it is not difficult to imagine that Bill Barr, the prosecution, will be getting a little subpoena for the trial. And I was watching my Filthy Morning Habit. before I headed out for the day. And this echoes. I mean, I don't see how you put this trial on without Bill Barr to prosecution. Oh, what's his middle name, Darlene? Bill Murgatroyd Barr, whatever. But Mika did a good job.
A historic day again. President Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, will be arraigned this time for his efforts to overturn an election in this United States.
Now, by the way, I like Jonathan Lemire. I've been watching how Joe and Mika get to not come into work a lot. It's a nice gig. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe sometimes they like to stay up past 7 p.m. I mean, that was always the downside of morning drive. You got to be in the studio at, you know, no later than 5 to go on at 6, which means that if you aren't in bed by 10, you're fecked. And I've always been a night creature. I mean, yeah, okay, here I am in bed at 10. God, I need to repaint the ceiling. Beige. I'll paint it beige. And poor Lemire, he does way too early, so he probably has to be into work by 4. Which means he better be in bed by 8. And hey, Jonathan. Yeah, I know. You end your day with us. I mean, listen to Robin, then off to Betty. Bye. I'm kidding. But I do have to say, this was one of those days where, you know, whatever you turn on in the for-profit media, you know that the rest of the world has ground to a halt. And it's a little bit, annoying, because other things are going on. William Pelham Barr. Yeah, why do I not remember that? The taking of Pelham 123, that movie. Pelham. Thank you, Darlene. But I only thought I was annoyed until I got home, and I fired up the MSNBC, and just about hurt my foot kicking furniture, because there they were with a static shot of the door of Nitwit Nero's jalopy jet, standing there open, waiting for him to galumph out onto the staircase. Yeah, no jetways for him. No way does he have to actually go through the airport baggage claim. No, he gets to get off the plane just like he's still president. Huh. And so Mrs. Greenspan and others were sitting there chatting away while the camera just stayed on that empty space in that open door of the jalopy jet. And it occurred to me, oh my God, the multimillionaire for-profit media are almost acting like Nitwit Nero's walk out and climb down the ladder and set foot on the moon.
One small step for mankind, one great step for me. Definitely me, believe me.
And I was just so annoyed. Maybe this is an indication that I have a problem. No. I think I was just fine. And then he stopped at the head of the staircase. They didn't have any mics on him, but I could see him mouthing the words,
"Thank you, thank you. No, really, thank you. Excuse me, thank you."
When there was nobody there cheering for him or clapping or say, thank you for what? It reminded me of Gilligan standing at the window saying, "I promise you this, that, and the other thing." And then, presumably, he galumphed down the stairs, probably scared half out of his mind.
Boom, 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 boom.
They're all can wish. And got into a waiting limousine, which I presume we paid for. Hell, we probably paid for the fuel for the fucking jalopy jet. And then to add indignity onto indecency, they followed him. And you know, not everybody's been to D.C., but they followed him down the George Washington Parkway from National Airport, across the river, and down to Constitution in Pennsylvania, where the District of Columbia Federal Courthouse stands. And I couldn't help noticing, because I remember one time walking through downtown D.C., stopping and, I wouldn't say exactly admiring, but remarking to myself upon the, "Wow, that's really homoerotic," sculpture dedicated to General George Gordon Meade, who won the Battle of Gettysburg. Placed there by the grateful citizens of, I think, Pennsylvania. But look it up, Matt. Look that. Tell me that wouldn't be perfectly apropos on Castro. Because it, I mean, oh my God. But the self-humiliating media followed the motorcade all the way down, and then they did a handoff to a reporter standing in front of what can only be described as a zany circus atmosphere. I halfway expected the MSNBC reporter to say, "Well, Andrea, there's a lot going on down here. We've got balloons for the kids and hot dogs and cutout albums to give away and free, you know, you might win a ticket for a free car wash down to Freddy's on Saturday." Get Don on the phone. Where are those pictures I was supposed to see? Tom and Sonny San Rafael, you are exactly where I was. Trump's limo, Tom and Sonny San Rafael says, too bad it wasn't a white Ford Bronco. Great minds. But then again, O.J. was acquitted. So, best not to mess with the karma there. But the guy doing the stand-up out front said, "Well, I imagine the presidential motorcade, or I'm sorry, Mr. Trump's motorcade
will arrive at the back of the building and park underneath, and he will, and it's exactly what Matt in San Francisco's email described. No handcuffs, no orange jumpsuit, no orange shower shoes, no frog march, no perp walk. And there were only about 11 media spaces inside the courtroom, and that's another thing that we're going to have to talk about and another thing that we have to start advocating for. This trial must be televised. Every American citizen, at least the ones that care about the continuation of this republic, needs to watch as much of it as humanly possible. Every minute of damning testimony by the prosecution. Every second. And I hope Her Honor, Judge Tanya Chutkan, will allow it. And I hope the multimillionaire for-profit media have the common decency to behave themselves and treat it with the gravity and the critical import to the future of the republic that it is. It's the hope that kills you. But hope we nonetheless do. I do not want to read what some ink-stained wretch writes about what happened in the trial. I do not want to see what some impressionist sketch artist draws about the trial. The very future of the republic demands that we be able to see it. Ralph's in agreement says, I really hope the Drumpf trial is televised. It will be the single greatest moment of must-see TV in the history of the Republic. Or the Republic since television became a thing. Yeah. Steve in New York says, it's the empty podium all over again. And if he fails to testify, it'll be the dog that did nothing in the night. He will try to offer his testimony through social media, like his rickety, falling apart, rattle trap social media platform, Tripe Social. And he will tripe all along the way. It is a criminal trial, and another thing that is going to obtain, this is not going to be a two-day trial by any stretch of the imagination. This is going to take a lot of time. And here's another question, going back to Matt's reference to a two-tiered justice system. It is virtually unconstitutional to try, no, it's unconstitutional to try a defendant in absentia. I presume there is some sort, and I haven't seen the stories yet, but I presume there are some sort of conditions upon his bond. It'd be nice if he was forced to surrender his passport. Anybody else would be. A nation that declares that it is a law, it is a nation of laws and not of persons, would require that. Because it is required, okay, for people who have done federal practice, I don't know if that's you, but Steve, but Billable Rick, Are there times when a federal trial defendant is not required to surrender their passport? I mean, the obvious answer to that is yes. If they don't have one, you can't make them write. But if someone has a passport, and here's an interesting civics question, is the President of the United States required to have a passport, or does he literally get a pass on passports? I mean, there are breaks and perks and exceptions out there. I don't know the answer to that. That was not a rhetorical question. But I don't, I mean, he never shows up, Nitwit Nero, for the civil trials. But I presume, and I may be wrong, that he will damned well have to show up for both of his federal trials, and if Fani Willis finishes the job and indicts him in Atlanta, that too. By the way, a little tangent relative to Fani Willis. I hate with the heat of a thousand suns the Fox News style book. And you know what it is. Some people say. And there it was again on the for-profit media. You know, I really do need a, I need to be a suit. Is a woman who is a broadcast executive also a suit? Because I don't think it would be appropriate to call me a skirt. Or a dress. And a gown just sounds too highfalutin. That's what I need to be. I need to be issuing memos. The next motherfucker that says, some people say on our air will be terminated with extreme prejudice. Because that's what it was today. We were talking about Fani Willis. Some people say that Fani Willis shouldn't indict Trump. He's already indicted enough. Well, you pixel-stained wretch, be a journalist and give us the who of the who, what, when, where, why, how, and how much. Who is it that that says that Fani Willis should not do her damn job and indict Donald Trump if the evidence supports a finding of a true bill by the grand jury? Who? Because inevitably you know that the who is some mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, tooth-picking with their toenail clippings maggot. Who's out there shrieking into a camera or the void or the abyss, leave Donald alone! Well, Fani Willis wasn't having any of it. When whoever that reporter was, some peopled her, she said, because I swore an oath to the Constitution to do my job. And if laws are broken in Fulton County, Georgia, as the Fulton County prosecuting attorney, I have a sworn duty to prosecute them. And apparently, the maggots are out there grunting and barking about how Fani Willis and I don't know, I presume the Manhattan prosecutor and Jack Smith are all in cahoots. And Fani Willis said, frankly, if I was standing next to Jack Smith, first of all, he probably wouldn't know how to properly pronounce my name. And B, I probably wouldn't even know who he was. I hate that shit. And we're going to have so many questions to ask between now and the trial. And I hope it doesn't prove too terribly difficult to find the answers. Oh my God, I've filibustered into the second hour of the program. Goodness me, I'm not done. Steve in New York says, don't forget the New York criminal trial. How could I? Ralphs says, I don't see any recent articles about Donnie surrendering his passport. Maybe look up Donald Trump conditions of bond. Steve in New York says, the trials, this is just as, if not more, important than the Constitutional Convention itself. If TV had been a thing then, they would have been on TV. I think you're right, because based on the limitations of media at the time, that's probably why Madison and Hamilton, and to a certain extent John Jay, wrote the Federalist Papers. Those were opinion pieces touting the value of the new Constitution and trying to inoculate themselves against the fact that they were basically running a coup. Madison knew what he was doing, so did Alexander Hamilton. They had no right under this isn't a critique, it's just a fact. They had no right under the Articles of Confederation to call a convention to amend the articles without unanimous consent of the 13 states. And they sort of pettifogged around it by saying, well, we're not amending the Articles of Confederation. We're taking them out behind the barn and beating them to death with an axe handle, okay? Yeah, by the way, Steve in New York says, billable Rick, fuck Glenn Kirshner. Rick needs to be the federal expert. He's much more knowledgeable. I'd enjoy seeing billable. And then if they needed to sidebar for a minute, billable could wax eloquent on his nine ball game. As to the judge, Tanya Chutkan, you know, she was born in Jamaica. Came to America. I know it's too much, Jeremy says, but to ask, but I'd love the judge to stand up when asked about the camera and proclaim, oh, you. Fuck it! We'll do it live! That would be a moment. For real news, News Ninja Gene says, should we watch Australian or Deutsche Welle news? Deutsche Welle would be good. Al Jazeera will actually probably be pretty good. The ABC in Oz. I don't know. I presume, since you're there on Turf Island, Gene, that you have already decided that the Beeb is not worth the effort. Okay, passport, Lee in New York doing some research. The President of the United States, his immediate family, certain top officials and diplomatic personnel are issued diplomatic passports which have a black cover and for which the bearer doesn't have to pay the passport fee. Now that what happened yesterday has happened, I get to get my passport now. Mine expired a while back, like 2021. And I knew, because, you know, I was into my transition then, I knew that I was going to have to make a couple of things happen before I would be able to apply for mine. Those things have now happened. And so I'm now waiting for a little something-something in the mail, at which point I will change my gender marker and my name on my Social Security account and apply for my passport in my proper name. We draw ever nearer him being gone. And I could not be more thrilled. Little sidebar. Billable Rick, I conjured him. Surrender of passports by federal criminal defendants. Robin, you are correct that one of the standard conditions of pretrial release for a defendant facing federal charges is that he surrender his passport and that he not only apply for a new passport. Oh, wrinkle. However, that condition is sometimes not enforced by the government and or the magistrate judge at the defendant's arraignment. I would be interested. I mean, could we find... Okay, like I said, we're going to be asking a lot of questions. Is the arraignment order searchable? I think I'm asking this of Steve in New York. Because conditions of bond would be, I presume, embodied inside the arraignment order. And I understand that it can be waived, billable. I somehow suspected that to be the case. But things like that are based on whether someone might be a flight risk, right? And even if he was released on his own recognizance, even a PR bond has a dollar value. And I'd love to know what the dollar value is of Nitwit Nero's bonds. I mean, Jesus Christ, this is a violation of the Klan Act, among other things. That seems rather a big deal. And if Nitwit Nero is not a flight risk...
Pooty, can I come home? Please? I swear, I'll build a hotel right there. Right there where you had your Olympics there on the Black Sea. You know, if you can, like, keep those crooked Ukrainians from blowing my new hotel all to kingdom come.
Sochi. Yeah, that's what it was. Steve, does the president have a passport? Nice to see someone's already answered that. And it goes back to 2001. And the Slate article talks about the diplomatic passport. I presume that also includes access to the diplomatic pouch, whereby JFK was able to get his little H. Upman Coronas from Kilmer. Jimmy, okay. Subject line, passport. Thank goodness Trump built the wall. Now he can't escape to Mexico. That's quality. Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure, Rule 43. Defendant's presence. Let's take a look at that rule. Oh, God, see, you get into this stuff, and this is the lawyer and stuff. When required, defendant's presence. Unless this rule, Rule 5 or Rule 10, provides otherwise, the defendant must be present at the initial appearance, the initial arraignment, and the plea, every trial stage, including jury impanelment and the return of the verdict, and sentencing. If he's an organization, he doesn't. If it's a misdemeanor, he doesn't. Okay, rule five. Initial appearance. Okay, he's already done that. Rule 10. Arraignment. So, yeah, he has to be there for every day of the trial. Now, that having been said, let's be abundantly clear. His pettifoggers will say,
"Oh, Your Honor, I'm far too busy. You know, I'm going to be the next president. I'm running for president, and my candidacy is far more important than your shitty little courtroom. And besides, deranged Jack Smith is the only reason we're here. So I don't even want to waste my time with your stupid little trial. Believe me, it's stupid. I'm the most innocent man. I'm the most innocent president. And I've been more mistreated than any other president in the history of the United States, Judge. So I don't want to sit there and listen to those fucking rhinos lie about me. It's all going to be lies. Nothing but lies."
Okay, Emilio. You're banging on all eight this evening. I hear some people say that Don Jr. has an excellent eight-ball game. Don't know if it's true. Just, you know, some people are saying that. Eight-ball is accompanied by a nudge and a nod and a wink. As to international news sources, Gene. Hi, Gene. Steve in New York suggests it's Deutsche Welle, not Deutsche Welt. If it were German, I know, that's what I said, Deutsche Welle. Other international news sources, UK Channel 4 and LBC, The Guardian, CBC in Canada, and the Toronto Star newspaper, which still does journalism. Yeah, down in, you know, back to Georgia for a minute. Yeah, Nitwit Nero told officials in Georgia,
"I just need to find 11,780 votes.
And Fonnie Willis may answer, "Sorry, we could only find 12. Meanwhile, don't you hate the meanwhile? You know, I was actually playing a clip, and I may get there yet. Headline, hours before arraignment, Trump appears to suggest he'll use the DOJ to go after Biden if he becomes president. Now, this was earlier today.
You know, I find it an honor that I'm being arraigned at the Pretty Man Courthouse. The E. Barrett Pretty Man Courthouse, they knew who they were arranging. I'm a very pretty man. Did you ever see that picture of me in the short little kimono robe posing on the satin sheets on the bed? I was really pretty back then. Oh, Max, we had faces.
Over on Tripe Social, Nitwit Nero triped,
"Look, it's not my fault that my political opponent in the Democrat Party, crooked Joe Biden, has told his attorney general to charge the leading by far Republican nominee and former president of the United States, me."
I love how he has to make sure that we know it's him.
"With as many crimes as can be concocted so that he is forced to spend large amounts of time and money to defend himself.
Oh, look, he's the Queen of fucking England, describing himself in the third person.
The Dems don't want to run against me, or they would. They would not be doing this unprecedented weaponization of justice, but soon, in 2024, it, all caps, it will be our turn, MAGA.
And these are the lies he continues to vomit out at his pathetic, credulous supporters. Going all the way back to July 2021, the White House issued a policy memo that says that the Department of Justice and the White House have a wall between them. And Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, issued a memo identical but in the opposite direction. And Merrick Garland is not even part of the prosecution. And there's Nitwit Nero, entirely oblivious to the fact that he is a mortal man, declaring himself already the nominee. And he is. He's coming apart before the very eyes of the world. At 12:02 a.m. lard-ass daylight time, he triped,
"The radical left wants to criminalize free speech."
And then trying to whistle past the graveyard to beard the lion. Then, just a little bit before noon, he said,
"I need one more indictment to ensure my election."
And a couple of minutes later, he said,
"I'm now going to Washington, D.C. to be arrested for having challenged a corrupt, rigged, and stolen election. It's a great honor because I am being arrested for you. Make America great again."
He wasn't arrested. He surrendered. And that's another term of art that we need to make sure we see used. Trump surrenders. I want to be a broadcast executive. Thank you, Billable. At the arraignment hearing today in the January 6th case, conditions of pretrial release will have been set, including the amount of the bond, surrender of passport, etc. That information will appear on a standard form filed in the criminal case. That form will be one of the first filings in Trump's case. Would one, him having been arraigned some 2 hours and 23 minutes ago, Billable, when might we expect to see that document? And pretty please, could you keep an eye out for that so that we'll maybe have it either before or contemporaneous with the multimillionaire for-profit media? It's an open document, right? It's a public document. And Nitwit Nero is not entitled to a closed file. That's why we have the indictment. Well, thank you, Steve. The for-profit media needs to be listening to the horn. I agree. Send a check, too. Look at the fucking on-point original source information we've all produced in just 5 minutes. And what if more than one trial's going on at once? Yeah, that kind of goes back to the old conundrum when, say, the Oakland Athletics baseball team was wrapping up its season after the NFL season started, and they had to share the Oakland Alameda Coliseum with the Raiders. You kidding? Am I going to... am I going to miss an opportunity to do my cheesy Howard Cosell? Oh, hell no. I think that is a tactic that's in the toolkit, frankly. Steve? Steve in New York says, not guilty? It occurs to me, I think it's a real probability that at least one court declares him incompetent to stand trial. Ah, geez, Steve, yeah, but you know what the Manhattan standard is, and I know what the Manhattan standard is, and the Manhattan standard is a really tall hill to climb. He'll have to go all mob boss. He'll have to be wheeled into the courtroom with a plaid blanket on his lap, and triple depends on, and be dribbling oatmeal out of his filthy, festering gob. Would he do that if he thought it kept him out of the stir? Yes. Then you run into the Mark David Chapman problem. To wit, you go off to St. Elizabeth's, and every now and then they wheel you back in, and hey, are you still nuts? Still too crazy to stand trial? Yeah?
Boodle? Naga?
Mummy? Yep, back to St. Elizabeth's. Yeah, wouldn't that happen? For a back, and then there's the back reference to, oh, old CIA director under old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, William Casey. Remember Bill Casey? Who was known for never forgetting anything, having a total head for detail, until it was necessary for Bill Casey to remember whether or not he or anyone else told old 666 Ronald Wilson Reagan about Iran-Contra, and the next thing you know, dude has a stroke. And can't remember his own damn name. Or at least can't say it out loud or write it down. Or blink his eyes in Morse code. And thus was old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, saved from impeachment. Well, that and Ben Bradley and Katie Graham declaring jointly, the United States of America cannot stand another constitutional crisis after this, soon after Watergate. Yeah. It was a decade later. For all the good work they did, that needs to be on their tombstones. The same way that with Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States, her epitaph should be, "Fucked America in Bush v. Gore, even though she knew better." Back to billable rec and the surrender of passports. Billable says that document may already be on the court's docket, or it will be within the next day. I'll see if I can find it on Pacer. That would be so freaking awesome. That would be another one of those moments where we're so far out ahead of the curve that it feels like we're on a straight road. We're at the halfway mark of the program, and we have $20 to go on Ralph's challenge. And that would, if met, it would take us down to $4.95 and take a little bit off the deficit. And Ralph's is really kind putting those challenges forward. And, well, this is your chance to participate in the ha-ha, Drump's been arranged celebration. The PayPal interface is over at headon.live. You can also use Patreon, Venmo. Scary Jerry used Cash App. John in Central PA says, Trump arraignment, I still think the DOJ waited too long to charge him. He wouldn't be polling in a dead heat with Biden if the DOJ would have started with charging Trump and minions and then go down from there, a top-down approach instead of letting him get away with shit for 2 years. Also, not one of those fucking Nazi maggot members of Congress aren't being charged. Okay, John, time out. You know I love you. Breathe. It's not like they drug their feet. Evidence has to be developed. You can't just charge you can't just hand an indictment form to a grand jury and say, "Listen, we all know he's a dick. Let's indict him for Article 99A. Trump is a dick." I mean, read the 45 pages of the indictment. Look at when the information came out, when it was developed. I promise you, there was no dilatory behavior on the part of Jack Smith. Or the DOJ, frankly. I mean, there are still people wandering around out there, Peter Navarro being one, who thumbed his nose at the January 6th committee. So did the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Stevie Three Shirts. It's going to take some time. But this is a meticulous indictment. I mean, this is chapter and verse. This is there is not an extraneous word in the indictment. And again, every word in the indictment is supported by copious evidence. And that's the kind of indictment you want. I go back to what, you know, that old adage, if you're going to shoot at the king, and I despise any notion that there's anything royal or monarchical about that shambling sack of guts, Donald Trump. But if you're going to shoot at the king, you better by God not miss. And this indictment takes dead aim at center bullshitter. So bear that in mind, John. Lou said, by the way, the Trump Presidential Library, to be placed in West Virginia? Just kidding. No, I think that's great. Put it on a mountaintop removal site. The foundation will be cracked within the first 4 months after it's poured. Books will fall off shelves. Even on a mild summer day like today. By the way, August has come in. That's the March, but this is the weirdest damned August I remember in a long time. When I was out and about today, I had a little pair of, you know, white eyelet shorts and a little sleeveless top. And it was freaking cold. It's not supposed to be cold on August the 3rd here. This is the miners' holiday month. It's supposed to be so miserably damned hot that all the miners take August off and go down to Myrtle Beach and enjoy those cooling ocean breezes. Yeah, just saying. Hey, Jeremy in Vermont, thank you so much. Finishing off Ralph's challenge. Hey, we're down to $4.95. So, We're $195 from being fully funded for yesterday, after probably one of the most momentous community-made miracles to end the month of July that we've ever had. Thanks, Jeremy. Ralph's asked, wouldn't Donnie Jr., Trader Tot, Eric the Dumber, and Iwanka have Donald committed? Anybody can file a commitment petition. But I think they would know that it's a matter of if you take a shot. If we take a shot at Dottie and we miss, we're out of the fucking will. Okay? I think that's enough. Now he's gonna if he wants to avail himself of the Gambino defense, he's gonna have to put on a show, and a big one. He'll have to shit himself in court and smell like a fucking stockyard. See, this is why I'm not on the for-profit media. I talk like the rest of America talks. Okay, we were talking about the witness list, and I had the clip all ready to go. Let's find out.
Thank you for getting up way too early with us on this Thursday morning. An important morning, Joe, starts right now.
Do you think he knew that he lost the election?
Do I personally believe that? Yeah, at first I wasn't sure, but I have come to believe that he knew well that he had lost the election. And
sometimes I hate lawyers. Now that's William Pelham Barr. Using that word. And I have to think that, I have to hope that Jack Smith will tolerate no such shenanigans as I believe, do I personally believe. This corrupt old sack of sin is going to be a principal witness. And if he pulls that believe shit, that's a gift to the defense. Well, you know, when the First Amendment guarantees us the right to believe anything we want to. He could believe Donald Trump knew. But Mr. Barr, you don't know for a fact, do you? I don't know. Let's see what he says in the rest of the clip.
Now, what I think is important is the government has assumed the burden of proving that. The government, in their indictment, takes the position that he had actual knowledge that he had lost the election and the election wasn't stolen through fraud.
And he had that actual knowledge delivered to him by, among other people, William Pelham fucking Barr. And Mark Mellows. And Mike Pencilneck Geek. Well, this is going to be a Republican field day.
And they're going to have to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt.
Which is a high bar, of course.
That's a high bar. Now, that leads me to believe...
And I'm going to help them.
...that we're only seeing a tip of the iceberg on this.
You think Jack Smith has more?
Oh, yes. I would believe he has a lot more. And that's one of the things that impressed me about the indictment. It was very spare. And there are a lot of things he could have said in there. And I think there's a lot more to come. And I think they have a lot more evidence as to President Trump's state of mind.
Donald Trump's former attorney general with an ominous prediction for the former president in the 2020 election case. It comes as Trump faces arraignment today in federal court in Washington. We'll get a live report from Washington, D.C., and legal analysis on what we can expect from today's hearing. Meanwhile, former Vice President Mike Pence just gave his most direct criticism of his former boss. We'll play those comments for you. Also ahead, the new reporting on a private meeting between President Biden and former President Obama over concerns about the 2024 election. Good morning and welcome to Morning Joe. It is Thursday, August 3rd. Along with Joe, Willie, and me, we have the host of Way Too Early, White House Bureau Chief at Politico, Jonathan Lemire, former U.S. Attorney and senior FBI official, Chuck Rosenberg, Congressional Investigations Reporter for The Washington Post, Jackie Alemany, and Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and associate editor of The Washington Post, Eugene Robinson.
So, Willie, you know, yesterday I expected to hear, well, I think we all expected to hear, the best that the Trump defense team had, the best that the Trump apologists in the media had. And man, if that was the best they got, Donald Trump's in really big trouble because, as first of all, as Barr said, it's the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be so much more coming in here. It was a very spare indictment to get things moving, but there's so much more to be seen. We saw Savannah Guthrie. We're going to be playing the clip in a second. We saw Savannah Guthrie interview Trump's lawyer. They're still talking about the First Amendment when, on the very face of the Jack Smith indictment, Jack Smith said, "You have the First Amendment right to say what you want to say. You even have First Amendment right to lie. You do not have, though, a First Amendment right to commit a conspiracy to overthrow the federal government of the United States. I mean, it just
makes
absolutely no sense. So they're either talking about the First Amendment or over on another news channel. Some people were sitting there talking about a two-tiered justice system and talking about Hunter Biden's hubcap rolling off his 67 Impala or something.
Right,
I mean, we just heard it. We just heard it. That was bad, a 67 Impala.
Oh, my Jesus. He's morphing into me. Hi, Joe. We see you. You're valid.
All of those, you know, those hubcaps, they bounce the right way, they can take out an eye. But they're talking about this two-tier system. And as we've said, and I may have said it a little harshly yesterday when I said we don't care if Hunter Biden goes to jail. I didn't mean it that way. What I meant was if he's done something, if he's found guilty, he goes to jail. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's what we do in America.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they can't say,
oh my God,
if Donald Trump's done something, if he's guilty, he should go to jail. So they're still, this is what, again, we talked about it yesterday. It is amazing to me that these people, Kevin McCarthy and people on another cable news station, spent from Election Day 2020 to January 6th undermining confidence in America's voting system, in American democracy. It's ended up costing them $1 billion. It'll end up probably cost them closer to $2 billion. But they did that, and they haven't learned their lesson. Now, that Donald Trump, it's like they're willing to just totally screw America. They're to trash America for this guy. I don't want to see his face. Take him down. I don't want to see his face. Take him down.
God damn it.
I don't want to see his face. Now they're willing to trash America.
They are. They're listening to the program before Betty Bye. Holy shit. That was from yesterday. You know, the file I misnamed is thrown in the side Thursday. I mean, this program's for free, Joe. But, you know, as Carl the assistant greenskeeper said of the Dalai Lama in Caddyshack, I know he'll get this reference. How about a little something for the effort? And I don't want any bullshit about perfect consciousness when I die. You're not the Dalai Lama.
They've already trashed democracy for that guy. And if you listen to him yesterday, if you listen to Republicans in the House, if you listen to people on other news channels, they're literally willing to trash America's judiciary. Our judicial branch, the very branch in Madisonian democracy that separates us from other countries the most, if you follow history. It's always the great leveler. They're willing to trash that now, Willie.
I think it would work better if you said they're willing to trash that, Robin. Thank you. Huh. Oh, Mika, girl, you're doing a great job. You really are. And I'm loving your look. Sometimes it's just a little weird. I'm Albert Brooks in broadcast news, sitting on his couch, getting loaded. I mean, I'm not getting loaded. But watching William Hurt being fed information that Albert Brooks is saying into the phone to Holly Hunter that's being transmitted to William Hurt through his IFB. And Albert Brooks, deadpan, stunned, amazed, looks up and says, "Oh my God, I say it here, it comes out there." Oh well. Don't worry, it's just my giant ego. I know better. I'm just playing. Stephen E. York, addressing himself to John in Central PA's comment. Too long to charge? Steve says, and look, you know, this is a thing. I'm gonna let Steve's words speak for themselves. I get people's impatience. However, we have to understand when Garland came in, think of where he was. One, there was the issue of smoking out the cockroaches lingering from the Trump regime. Two, as a country, we've never been here before. Not even Nixon. Not even Iran-Contra. God knows, not Whitewater. As a country, we've never been here before. I think any caution that may have been there was understandable. In addition, also understandably, we have never had a lame duck president attempt to violently remain in power and effectively overthrow the incoming government. Three, I understand the desire to prosecute everyone and his guilty brother, but again, I suspect even devout Mormon Garland got in the office and thought, shit, this is deep as fuck. If you're driving down a totally unlit, unfamiliar road and arrive late at your destination for the person you are visiting to complain that you weren't there sooner is just unfair. These are the reasons I will not criticize Garland over this. I think that's well said. You waited this long to tell me he's a Mormon? Well, I mean, there are Mormons who are absolutely aghast at the conduct of Donald Trump. Remember the hostage photo of Bishop Senator Willard Romney? Turning around, eating dinner with Trump, and turning around and looking at the camera for all the world like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly saying, "Help me." That. Thank you, Irish Dave. From the mob boss, the Horn ad hoc mob boss research department, I believe that wasn't Gambino. Vicente the Chin Gigante donned a bathrobe when he went outside and mumbled incoherently. But wasn't there one who was wheeled into court? Maybe it was all the way back at the mob hearings in the 50s with Senator RFK, Robert F. Kennedy, Sr., whose mortal remains, if one were to do a little digging and open up the box, would probably be found cringing at his namesake son's behavior. I don't know. Now, what's that, Robs? Oh my goodness, the Biden campaign is now selling a cup of Dark Joe, working with the Dark Brandon meme. this is playable. Okie dokie. See what we got here. All right, Robin. Click.
I like my coffee dark.
Okay. That's cute. Thanks, Ralphs. Dark Brandon. So, for all the talk of Joe Biden can't find his pants. He's still got a sense of humor. And of course, we know now that he swears like a sailor. Or maybe we could ratchet that up a notch and say that he swears like a Catholic sailor. I like my coffee dark. And the dark Brandon mug has the lasers coming out of his eyes with the number 2024 on it. That would be cute. Stephen New York says, I inadvertently left out what you said. If you fired the king, you best not miss. Yeah. Matt in San Francisco, Mormons. I dated a Mormon once. That is one jacked up religion. Oh, Matt. I'm going to be quite prurient here. Did you see the magic underwear? Was it fetching? And look, that's not me calling it that. That's what Mormons call it. Yeah, maybe it did. Ralphs, maybe the doddering old... maybe that was the Whitey Bulger case. Good catch. Let's see. And so, wow, this turned into a so far 2-hour filler obster. Somebody's on the Skype line, and thanks for your patience. There's just so damn much to get to. Oh, Jesus. Thanks, ABC. Now, look. Oh, it hurts as us. It hurts as us. This is what I was talking about civic education and government education earlier in the program, about how we need people who know what they're talking about to explain exactly what has already been proven. Okay? It is not strictly correct to say that an indictment is just a charge. That is not what an indictment is. That's what a traffic ticket is. It is a set of facts that collectively amount to a violation of the criminal law that a grand jury has already said has been proven to them by a preponderance, 50% plus 0.00001, to be true. Joe, Mika, I'd love to say this on the air. Your air. I swear I'll be cute. And now I got this, a headline, ABC News. Criminal intent, free speech emerge as key issues in Trump's January 6th indictment. Great jumping Jehoshaphat, googly moogly. Can one of those pixel-stained wretches at ABC News please explain to me one godforsaken criminal case? Really, Joe, Mika, I swear I won't say dirty words. I won't. I know how to, but I don't have to here, okay? I just need you to know that. I need an agent. Name me one godforsaken criminal case in this country that isn't a matter of strict liability. See, she still remembers. Where criminal intent does not emerge as a key issue in the prosecution. Oh my God! These news outfits are active co-conspirators in the stupefying of the of American people who don't want to be stupefied. Honestly, it pisses me off. But they need the clicks, they need the eyeballs. And that looks like a real journalism headline now, doesn't it? I have a dear friend who's a copy editor. And if he was listening, I would get an email saying, fire that person. Or maybe, oh look, ABC News is using AI now to write headlines. Free speech emerge. Okay, let's see what the copy says, because you know the reporter doesn't write the headlines. I get it. Former President Donald Trump's early legal defense is coming into focus after he was hit with another federal indictment. This time in connection to his efforts to remain in power after his 2020 election loss. Okay, good for you. Take my victories where I can get them. ABC News clearly stated that, yes, Nitwit Nero lost the 2020 election. Trump faces forfeiture, yada, yada, yada. Emerging as key issues. Oh, it's always so journalistic to begin your sentence with a participial phrase. Emerging as key issues in the case are intent and free speech. Trump's lawyers have asserted Trump has always believed the 2020 election was stolen and had a First Amendment right to say so. Smith anticipated those defenses in his 45-page indictment, legal experts told ABC News as they weighed in on the case. Really? You had to have a legal expert to explain that to you? Are y'all? This is ABC News, y'all. You're supposed to be practitioners of the art of word knowing. And you don't need a JD from Yale Law to read this indictment where it says Donald Trump had a right to say what he said. Scan, 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 scan. But wait a minute. Oh my heavens. It just dawned on me. Now, I have, for almost 20 years, behind this microphone, said that the single most dangerous word in the English language is believe. because it enables any and all mendacious, obfuscatory tripe. I always think back to that one little song. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower crawls. And if you thought about it and that was true, there wouldn't be enough room on the planet for people to live because we'd be covered up in flowers. But that's what they're doing. You wait. You wait long enough. This is one of those mark it down things. 7:01 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 August 2023. Sooner or later, you're going to start seeing the adverb sincerely appear in front of the word believe. The First Amendment isn't just free speech, it's also a life support system for the religion industry. And we know from Hobby Lobby and 303 Creative that the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card in this country, according to the dictates of our most puissant, dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesties, is a sincerely held belief. That sack of sin is going to try to leverage that pet fetish object of the court to overturn any potential conviction. Whether he succeeds is another matter entirely. Meanwhile, here's ABC News citing some jagoff talking to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. The jagoff in question is, hold on, John Lauro, one of the pettifoggers for Nitwit Nero. John Lauro sat down with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and said, this indictment is an assault on the First Amendment rights of my client. Horse and shit. But of course, whomever the blathering gas bag at Fox was, there was no pushback. And John Lauro can say that until the sun burns out. By the way, that's the goal of the Trump pettifogging team, to make sure the sun burns out before the jury is impaneled. Oh, let's answer the poll question. I want to see how many. I want to see what percentage of readers of this ABC News story think that he will be convicted. Let's see. There's another. You know, I rarely or never listen to broadcast radio. because the questions you get after that are all about, you know, what kind of breakfast cereal you eat. Cinnamon Life. Well, now, that's interesting. The question, based on this ABC News story, do you think former President Trump will or will not be convicted on the criminal charges he faces? 52% of respondents said definitely will be. This is an unscientific poll. 14% said probably will be. 9% said probably will not be. 23% said definitely will not be. 2% said show me the next fucking story. So 66%, that is two-thirds of people answering that question think he's going to get busted. 32%, which is pretty much the same number as the number of people, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing goons who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings. Oh, no.
He will never be convicted. He is our God Emperor. And he is amazing. Believe me.
Come on, ABC. Do better. Meanwhile, the maggots are going after Tanya Chutkan, even though she has an impeccable record, even though she was confirmed by the Senate of the United States 95-0. So there he was, because he's got a podcast. Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was babbling yesterday and said Judge Tanya Chutkan has been relentlessly hostile and she has a reputation for being far left even by D.C. District Court standards, which is a way of saying she's a no-bullshit jurist who won't put up with crap. The only problem is Rafaelito voted to confirm her. He was one of those 95. Then, of course, this wouldn't be the story that it is without a reference and a quote from Lady G, Senator Lindsey Graham. The judge, in this case, hates Trump. Of course, he said this to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You can convict Trump of kidnapping Lindbergh's baby in D.C. You need to have a change of venue. We need a new judge, and we need to win in 2024 to stop this crazy crap. And so media outlets then reached back to aides for both of those dweebs. And said, yeah, but you voted to confirm her, and it was unanimous. What about that? Boop! But what's scaring them, what's scaring these maggots waterboweled is the fact that Judge Chutkan has brooked no crap. And every time maggots have been before her, charged with participation in the domestic terror attack of January the 6th, 2021, she has delivered them sentences that they damned well deserved. That's 11 cases. And she sent them all up the river. And so these pathetic groveling, weaselous, worms, these Renfields, know that if the jury convicts Nitwit Nero, he's going to prison. Meanwhile, when she was up for confirmation in February 2014 under Barack Obama, nominated by, not one Republican member of the Senate Judiciary Committee uttered a peep. In opposition. Of course, that's partially because the Republicans, who at the time were known as teabaggers, only one of them even showed up for the hearing, and that was John Cornholio from Texas. But he didn't even stay long enough for Chutkan's hearing, because he was only there to bark and grunt and bleat and howl and screech and hoot about a judicial nominee from Texas who was on the schedule. Oh my. So this story comes from HuffPo and readers of it. Do you think former President Trump will or will not be convicted of the charges against him? 72% definitely will be. 25% probably will be. 2% probably will not be. 0% definitely will not be. 1%. Can't you just show me a story about kittens? So that's a 97% wager that he goes up the river. Now, as I said, it was a circus today outside the courthouse. About the only thing missing was somebody, a potential juror showing up in a Star Trek uniform. But then again, we're not to that stage of the proceedings yet. Oh, Steve. Subject line, Lindsey Graham. I just realized the reason for Trump's allure to Lindsey. Trump lets Lindsey top. Well, let's see. That's dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. And we all know that I like to have a little snack after airtime. And that's kind of screwed too, Steve. That's on you. Oh, Lord. And working. Hey, let's take a break for something really freaking cool. I do not go to Men's Journal. once did. But there are, and that's what I was getting at. You know, there are other things. Imagine being somewhere else in the world where momentous things are happening, and you know that you're being ignored by the largest media complex on Earth because an adipose waddling sack of sin is being charged with for the crimes that he damned well committed. Oh, I see. Iceland is raising its hand. This would be a thing to see. It's not Eyjafjallajökull, because I still remember. But there's a volcano erupting. It happens a lot. But they've got a brand new baby volcano in Iceland. This one is Litlihrutr, known as that's Icelandic for a little ram. Back on July 10th, a fissure broke the ground open, and lava started coming out, and it started flowing over areas with vegetation. And according to the Icelandic Meteorological Office, I just love this. I sent this to Miss Terry. She loves volcanoes. When lava flows over a vegetated area, I bet our buddy Ken in Hawaii knows about this. Methane gas can be produced when the vegetation does not combust completely. The gas then accumulates in gaps and cavities in the lava. And then when the pockets of methane get mixed with oxygen, it becomes rather flammable. Really flammable. And you get loud explosions. And people have been hearing them all over the Reykjanes Peninsula. And then when an ember or flame from the fire breaks into it, an explosion occurs. And then the coolest thing I have seen in a long time, the ash cloud coming off of Litlihrutr. Made its own tornado. Like I said, the story comes from Men's Journal. If you want to see the video, well, it's on YouTube. You don't have to go to Men's Journal. It's misspelled. Torando versus volcano. Iceland volcano eruption 2023. Is there any audio with this? I bet there's a commercial with it. Oh, no commercial. I'll be dipped. Oh, pretty music. Way high above. God, the soundtrack sounds like one of those Christian movies. But drone footage apparently captured the tornado forming. And it's impressive. So, just a little science-y nerd moment. I thought we could all use a little bit of a break. Billable Rick is staying on top of things. Docket sheets as of today in USA v. Trump. So far, there's no reference in the court's docket to today's arraignment. However, docket entry number 4 is a sealing order that provided for automatic unsealing of the indictment on August 1st at 5:30 p.m. The docket reflects Trump's lead and only attorney as John F. Lauro of Tampa. Well, he couldn't get one of the highfalutin lawyers from D.C.? That's a clue. Oh, and a little something-something. This happened yesterday, leading me to wonder if today would bring us some fuckery. And I think this probably qualifies as fuckery. Yesterday, now bear in mind, the Congress is not in session. The House has gone back to mouth breathe and knuckle walk with their constituents, and you know the maggots have. They're gone for their August recess because of the traditional exodus from D.C. during August because of the bad, because it's usually hotter than hell. And back in the day, staying in D.C. in August was a great way to die of yellow fever. So the senators weren't there, the House wasn't there, but of course staff is always there. I know, I got a squeaky chair. And lo and behold, somebody called the U.S. Capitol yesterday and said, hey y'all, there's an active shooter in the Capitol. And so law enforcement went into sweat condition alpha mode, went all the way through all the House and Senate office buildings. Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger said, we found nothing concerning. We got nobody who actually heard shots and certainly no victims. And then finally said, you know, it may have been a bogus call. They evacuated everybody. Over in the Russell Senate office building, they evacuated everybody, but they told the ink and pixel-stained wretches to shelter in a secure, locked room and not come out. But staffers and stuff were told to come out with their hands in the air and stand around for 90 minutes. And the call was false, by all intents. But there is a more precise, granted, colloquial term for what was done. Somebody swatted the Capitol. Swatting is a reprehensible act of calling the police, the local police, and saying, hey, we've got an active shooter situation, a hostage situation, in hopes that the police will scramble and accidentally murder someone. Or at least annoy the shit out of them. Some of the latest incidents of swatting are claims that I don't know if are true or are not by one marginal trailer queen that she was swatted. Of course, the cops who responded were unable to trace the call because it was done in a way where it's impossible to find or to source. And so naturally, if I were investigating, my first suspect would be marginal trailer queen, because she immediately began running to the media and barking and grunting and hooting and squealing and bleating and howling about how I done been swatted. Would a dedicated maggot swat the Capitol building? Fucking A right they would. Damned right they would. Oh, and by the way, there's been a with the opening of the Barbie movie, there's been a proliferation of satirical Barbies introduced. One of them was Marsha Triple X Blackburn. Marsha. Crazy Hair Barbie. But my favorite so far is Pipe Bomber Barbie. That the image created is of Marge with a pipe bomb in her hand and a backpack, wearing shoes that look like a lot like the shoes that the pipe bomber before the night before January 6th was wearing, and whom the authorities have not yet caught. And by the way, one of the things that went unaddressed is that our buddy John in Central PA pointed out that none of the maggots who facilitated and aided and abetted before the fact January 6th have been charged. Jack Smith is far from done. And there's a lot of heat out there. And it is being applied. And we may yet find out who the Sporkfoot was, who was seen running around with a backpack with pipe bombs in it. Not saying. Just saying. John, that's sweet of you to say, John in Central PA. Subject line, DOJ. You and Steve are right. I should not question the hard work of these brave and intelligent people who are risking their lives to save this country. I just get worried when I see close polls like the ones aforementioned. No, John, no. If I'm saying anything, the one thing I am not saying is don't question. I'm not saying that. Always question. The only way to make sure that you are not being bullshitted, that you are receiving correct information, is to question. You have to question. It's kind of like the ABC News story. You do not have to have worked for a journalism outfit or gone to any kind of school or studied anything in particular to read with a jaundiced eye everything that comes into your purview. It's just critical thinking. Like that ABC News article. Criminal intent will be a feature of the Trump trial. Thanks for that. Now in breaking news, I mean, that's dog bites man. No, what? Oh, my God. Ralphs, I did not. I'm looking for... that's astounding. It's also hilarious. Ralphs, did you see the link I sent about Trump wanting to move the trial to West Virginia? No. The email's been moving pretty fast and furious. And that one evaded me. Oh, great heavenly days. Yeah. Because it's true. You know, Nitwit Nero famously said that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote. He could take an AK-47 or AR-15 because Second Amendment patriotism. And he could start hosing down the crowd in the third largest city in West Virginia on any on many Saturdays in the fall, namely Mountaineer Field at WVU. Whoever wrote this is funny. Trump demands to be tried by a jury of his white peers in West Virginia. I'm going to read this and see if it smells like satire. His lawyer says it's more diverse there. That's another way of saying fewer black people. Last night, before he went to sleep and probably had some big scary meat sweat nightmares, Grandpa Crime Farts posted this on Tripe Social.
The latest fake case brought by crooked Joe Biden and deranged Jack Smith will hopefully be moved to an impartial venue, such as the politically unbiased nearby state of West Virginia. Impossible to get a fair trial in Washington, D.C., which is over 95% anti-Trump. That's another word for black, in case you're wondering. And for which I have called for a federal takeover in order to bring our capital back to greatness. It is now a high crime embarrassment to our nation, and indeed the world. This indictment is all about election interference.
LMAO, going to skip all the rest of that whack-ass malarkey and just laugh at the part about politically unbiased nearby state of West Virginia, which Donald Trump won by 39 points, his highest margin anywhere. Because when you're a white supremacist, unbiased means where the white people are. Because Donald Trump knows the Constitution says he has a God-given right to be tried by a jury of his peers, i.e., 12 hootin', hollerin' moonshiners. Come on now. Oh, if they did that and I got to sit on that jury, what a party that would be! And this is apparently not satire. The story comes from Wonkette. Everything I just read is from Wonkette. Wonkette writing, so we've moved on to the phase of the indictment where Washington, D.C. is black and therefore cannot offer a fair trial to a white man. One of Trump's lawyers, John Morrow, literally said yesterday that West Virginia is much more diverse than D.C. Oh, John, honey, I live here. You can use any word you want to describe my state, but diverse ain't it. West Virginians are good people. Even when we make horrible mistakes. Like, oh, I don't know, trusting coal companies. Thinking that coal is clean. Voting for Donald Trump. The lady in 2009 or 2008 who looked at a reporter with a microphone in front of her face and said, at the West Virginia primary, well, I voted for Hillary because I don't think we're ready for one of those in our White House. And by the way, what's John Morrow doing talking about diversity? They hate diversity. CRT! On the other hand, Wonkette is being a little bit shitty to my beloved state. We guess he's referring, John Morrow, to how many flavors of meth you can find taped under the toilet seat in an average Pentecostal bathroom. Well, yeah. We have a drug problem here. God damn it, we didn't ask for it. It was given to us. Some are born to drug problems. Others have drug problems forced upon them. I'm feeling very Shakespearean lately. No. The Sackler family, which wouldn't be caught dead in West Virginia unless maybe at the invitation of Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice at his Greenbrier Resort. They gave us the opioid crisis that we didn't even ask for. But listen, a hillbilly joke is always a good laugh, isn't it? I will put my progressivism head to head with anyone in this country. And I'm not one of those people who says, I ain't gonna listen to anybody talk bad about West Virginia. Because I do it a lot. And this place, it's so maggoty. But Jesus Christ, to laugh in print at what has been done to us for over 150 years, to make jokes about a crisis that saw more kids die from my children's high school graduating classes than died in the Vietnam fucking war? Wonk at. Whoever wrote this? Oh, please do better. This state was a Democratic bedrock state. Damn near a century. And it hurts. And considering the fact that most of the stuff that people like to make jokes about are either matters of survival or crises that were handed to us. Because, you know, it's not like 100,000 men were looking to die from black lung and in slate falls and gas explosions to be buried alive deep in the ground. While the coal company executive said in 1907, in passing out a pittance of money to the widows and orphans of the survivors, families of the Monongah disaster, well, I'll make a pretty good Christmas for some of these people. No. Oh. The prosperity that this country has so enjoyed, that was fueled by the coal industry, that was literally taken from this state and doled out to the rest of the country. Oh no, don't anybody dare laugh about that. No. Why, that's not just wrong, that's somewhere around wicked. Everything taken away, and nothing in return, and the few little things that Bob Byrd managed to send this state's way occasioned Republicans back in the 90s to say, oh, he's the king of pork. He ain't doing nothing but sending money to West Virginia. I gotta confess, I get a mite tetchy about that. I do. So, it is hilarious that he wants to move to West Virginia. Thanks, Ralphs. Oh, and by the way, Lee in New York points out, diverse community? Queens is one of the most diverse counties in the nation. It's also the place of the nitwit's early fiddling. Let us judge him here. You know, I probably wouldn't argue with that. But, you know, change of venue doesn't mean change of judge. Ah, John Morrow, buddy, you poor pettifogger. Honey, baby, sweetie, lamb. You remind me of Casey Stengel talking to the 62 Mets. Does anybody here know how to play this game? Oh, no, no, Ralphs, don't feel bad. No, no, no. I'm glad you did. I'm glad I saw that. Because there's nothing funnier than the idea of different colored packets of meth taped underneath the toilet in the local snake handling emporium. Don't feel bad. Feel good because I'm grateful. And you know, even if something outlandish like that were to happen, the orange blob might not walk. Careful what you wish for. You know? Yeah. So, lest this become a three-hour filler-obster. We had someone on the stress line, and they were off the stress line, and back on the stress line. I don't know who's here. Let's find out. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, Robinita, ¿qué pasó? When I called you before, I was in Miami, now I'm in Cuba.
Are you, in fact, in Cuba?
No, it's just I'm using.
Oh, is you? No, Jerry, come on, play the game. I was doing my cheesy JFK impression. Work with a girl.
I'm just frustrated. I mean, I wanted to talk to you literally since 5 o'clock. It is now 7:42 in the Eastern Standard Time.
Daylight.
And I'm starting our wonderful podcast at the local laundromat where nobody cares about Trump. Nobody. I'm just saying that. Just keep it real.
Well, you know, I'm not so worried about it. I would prefer that they actively disliked him as opposed to not caring, but, you know, I will take...
Oblivion and apathy, okay? It could have been sacrificing goats today. Nobody would have noticed.
Okay, wait a minute. That's where they could have been sacrificing goats today. Nobody would have noticed.
No, they wouldn't have noticed. Trump's bullshit distortion fuel is goated. I've literally never seen anything like it. I mean, if at the end of time we all go, no, he was the Antichrist, we all go, that makes sense. It won't, you know, it won't even raise an eyebrow. I have something that I'll save for the end of the call, but I just wanted to make history, Mama.
Yeah.
Indictment day, the real one, the prison riot one, the no spray tan one, the jumpsuit one, jumpsuit Donnie bitches. I use that colloquially.
I understand.
It kind of worked there. But yeah, that and mumbles, okay? I was actually going to walk around today because I have a bit of the manic energy. I'm manifesting positively today. I started a water garden, actually. That uses only recycled materials. And I'm going to buy some fish tomorrow, and they'll provide my nutrients. So I'm doing ghetto urban aquaculture. And in addition to weed, I'm also doing potatoes and garlic and onions and other things, stuff that Roger says, pretty much. But I'm doing it on the East Coast, in the tropics, and I'm doing it without soil. And we'll see how that goes.
That sounds fun.
And I'll have pictures. Oh, and I have a peppers sprout, so I'm very excited about that. I'm hitting a lot of anniversaries, so instead of drowning my sorrows, I'm doing positive things. And I heard a therapist say that to me once. I wanted to smack them, and I think I owe them an apology. I'm also writing down my resentments and what I'm going to do about them, and then that's it. They're gone. So
that sounds healthy.
Thinking, you know what? One of the girl who broke my heart, my origin story, believe it or not, I was in Washington, D.C., realizing the relationship was falling apart. And this was in high school. And this was all kicked up by Darlene. Thank you, Darlene. I'm going back to that angst. It's weird, man. You can be fucking almost 40 years away from that and just in a day. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
So I'm hitting that stuff head on. When I was
For the plug. Nicely done.
There you go. Oh no, we are plugging the fuck out of this show. I figured out how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to pass out business cards with the URL and the squiggly, and I'm just going to walk around and do interviews, influencer style. That's how you engage people in today's economy. You make them a part of that. Make them a part of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they tell their friends, and here you go. But I have a coffee date with someone I've been quietly lusting over. And
it would not be a scary Jerry call if it did not involve your love life.
Yes, of course not. And come on, this is a politics and lifestyle chat. Now let's do some lifestyle. Yes?
Please.
Because you know what? I just realized something. You never used to do this lifestyle stuff, and for them old crotchety listeners to go, what's this trans shit? You never talked about your life because you hated your life.
Oh, no. No.
Let me finish what I'm saying. We never knew who you really were until now. That's what I meant. So your life, your trans life, is just as much a part of this program as anything else. It's a hot topic right now. You're ahead of the curve. In 20 years, everybody will be doing it, but you're a pioneer, honey. In fact, I'm going to have to get you some clear high heels, some stripper high heels. That's what I'm getting.
Jerry, don't waste your money. I would break an ankle and they'd put me down on the runway.
No. They're not to wear, honey. No, it's for the studio. You get it?
I could only put them on after I sat down.
No, you're not supposed to put them on. They're for the studio.
Oh, for display.
Yes. God, no. No, especially if you put a little fish in there. Don't wear them. And the trick is to have the fish living by the time it gets to you. I'm working on it. But seriously. Yeah, you need a studio show. But you don't have to be on. Just a whole bunch of interesting stuff going on. Like clear high heels, a fish, a little garden growing. I would love to see the actual fucking porch.
Maybe someday that will happen. We used to talk a lot about actually doing a front porch.
You don't have to be on camera, but out on the front porch. I'd like to see the front porch. I'd like to see in the holler. I'd like to see the coal smoke and smell it. And all those things you talk about. And in 2023, there's no reason why we shouldn't see it. You stay off camera. Maybe go on camera once every 90 days. Wear a mask. We're cool.
Actually, there's more reality going on there than meets the eye. There are plans underway. I've only been talking about it for a decade or more.
Plans within plans.
To go to video.
Anyways, Strange New World is amazing.
That is on the watch list for this evening. And last night we watched the latest installment of Justified City Primeval.
I'm gonna get into Justified. I like the actor from that.
Timothy Oliphant.
He did.
Hell yes.
I think that's him. What was the other thing he did?
Did you watch the first Justified?
I watched a couple of shows and then Carolyn got sick and I stopped uptaking new media.
Okay, you gotta.
He was in another show before Justified, though, where I became a fan. I don't know if it was True Detective or something.
I'm not sure. I became familiar with Timothy Oliphant through Justified, which everybody told me I had to watch because it.
No, the show before.
I know, but I don't know what the show.
It's the same character. I'll check it down.
Oh, Raylan Givens?
Clock point, Robin.
No, Raylan Givens appears, as far as I can tell, Raylan Givens.
That's what he was in. How could we forget the name? This is a foundational horn show. Oh, my God. Deadwood? Yeah, he was in Deadwood. He was the guy in Deadwood.
I've completely forgotten. But
yeah,
everybody,
he was the main protagonist.
Everybody told me I had to watch Justified because it had a hillbilly setting, Eastern Kentucky. And it was great. I loved it. And I was excited when City Crime Evil came out.
Just because of his work, just his work in Deadwood. I'm like, all right, you doing you in the present. I can do that. Come on, let's go.
You got a lot of binge watching to do if you're going to start with the very beginning of Justified.
Yeah. I could have told you they were closed. But today's been a magical day. I've decided today to purge myself from all political media except you and a couple of players to be named later. I've spent way too much fucking time and too much data following around Trump's dumbass. Literally, that's it. What's happened is supposed to happen. Gravity works. Reality's working. I'll just get my updates from you. Because usually when you do your show, everything never comes as a surprise at all. Because I look at the same places you look at, bop, 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 bop. But that's your job. My job is to go out and have a life and talk about it. Okay? I'll send you more money because it's messy in there. You're like a plumber. I don't want to know what you're doing. Just make sure it works. I don't want to see or smell it. And that's an incredible moment for me. It really is. Kind of like Independence Day. 2 days ago, I was a guy wearing no shirt, running around with no shoes, waving my shirt, going, Trump's going to jail. Nobody cared. It was my little protest. And today, that's what I'm doing. I'm leaving all my political consumption to you. I'm going to get involved in local politics.
Good.
There's a thing put on by the mayor. This week, I'm going to go and shake hands and take a selfie with him because Carolyn used to work in his office, and he doesn't know she's dead. So I'm going to reconnect and do some things. Yeah. So it's my out in the world again plan. And you were a part of that. You helped me on the way back. I was explaining something to my stepmom, I guess, or my dad's new wife. And I started to explain. I didn't get into it. I feel like that character from that movie where he's in a coma and he gets out, or I've been in a coma for like 15 years and I've heard all the shit everybody talked about me at the foot of my bed. And granted, I should be all gracious and joyous and go, ooh, thank you, Jesus. But I have receipts and I have feelings. And I'm going to govern myself accordingly. Someone did they chase you because I think you're shoplifting thing today in a store and it was a little racist. I'm going to sue them tomorrow for defamation of character because they did it. And I'm just going to be messy for no reason because I can and I'm pissed. And it beats throwing a brick through the window. All right, rant over.
Okay. But, if you want to sue the bastards, get counsel. You're in Florida.
I have counsel. I have the best lawyer in Broward County. In fact, I was explaining to my stepmom, I go, he's actually a murder drug attorney. This is too small. This is like bringing a fucking ICBM to a traffic ticket. But that's how I'm feeling right now.
Well, I hope you've got enough to. I hope you've got enough to pique his interest.
No, I have enough. I have their capes, and they assaulted me, Robin.
If they put you in fear of receiving an immediate bodily touching of an insulting or provoking nature, good. If they actually touched you, wow, that's battery, and that's another story.
And he threatened to kill me. So,
a store worker?
He's racist. He thought it was one way. The manager of the store who I was taking his name down.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no. I'm going, as the kids say, ham.
Okay, so I hang on. I got to award a cowbell to Randy Radar.
What's up, Randy?
When you started mentioning the fish and the transparent high heels, Randy wrote in and said, would you call them aquarium pumps? Oh!
Yeah, baby!
Randy shoots. Randy scores.
We are on our shit tonight. Curl up and die. Oh, my God. That wasn't just a regular play. That was one where you had to stop what you're doing, put down what was in your hands, empty your pockets, and just break down laughing. And you were sitting there because we're in a distributed environment. You're going, oh, I guess that's funny. I go, I'm dying over here. I have tears in my eyes. That's literally one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I have to make that a store somehow, some way.
Oh, no, I want
to be a store because it's that good.
I want the venture capital to open it in the storefront next door to Hand Job on Castro Street in San Francisco. It gives me an opportunity to go to San Francisco.
Yes. I can
maybe dine at what's the name of that place? It's
some young guy.
No, it's
that's a real place.
I know, but it's been open since before the 1906 earthquake. It's a landmark seafood place, freshest seafood I've ever had in my life. And they and people line up, and you know, I'm just a country mouse who had gone to the city. When I got close enough to the door and they started bringing out free pints of Anchor Steam fresh from the brewery in San Francisco. Oh.
What was it?
This Anchor Steam beer. And so people are just standing there on the sidewalk waiting to get in, sipping on their Anchor Steams. And you know, country girl here, and this was a long time ago, I was still closeted, but I'm going, I just want to live here.
Oh, it's one of those places.
I mean, it's tiny. It was the first and only time that I've ever had fresh sea urchin roe, which is every bit as amazing as Anthony Bourdain said it would be. Holy smoke.
Poor sea urchin. Hey, have you tried that lab-grown chicken yet?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, you gotta try that. Let's know how that is.
Is that like impossible chicken?
No, it's lab grown. It's grown from stem cells. They just got the patent on it.
They just grow the chicken meat. The chicken never actually achieves life.
There is no chicken. It doesn't sound like it. This is one of those neuromancer conversations that we're actually having. I can't fucking believe it.
Well, I mean, shame on me. I'm obsessed with having my bacon, lettuce, avocado, and tomato sandwich.
Do you have a fake bacon that you like or no?
No, the turkey bacon.
Have you tried them or are you just
like vegan bacon?
Morningstar is really good.
Okay, so it's probably over in the freezer section.
Yeah. Morningstar bacon is really good. You gotta use a little oil, but it's not carrying its own oil like bacon is. But
can you air fry it?
Spritz it with oil, yeah.
Okay. I'm curious. I'll give it a go.
Still there?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Swans is the name of the place in San Francisco. Swans Oyster Depot in San Francisco. Huh.
Never heard of it.
Exquisite. I hope it survived COVID. If somebody writes and says, oh, yeah, it shut down during COVID, I'm going to be bereft. Because it's like the three pennies you throw in the Trevi Fountain in Rome. You throw them in and you're supposed to get to go back. I threw my three coins in the Trevi Fountain, and I have not gotten back yet, and I swore I would be back to Swan's Oyster Depot. And Jesus, that was 10 years ago.
Wow. I want to go to New York to get some pizza, to be honest with you. Have like a pizza attack.
There's an awesome place in the Lower East Side. Open late.
There's an awesome place in New York, period.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll be taking two places.
And Essa Bagel for your bagels, and that pickle company for your pickles, whatever their name is.
Yeah, I want to go see my aunties who are 90 years old and one of them sick, and they're in New York. And I want to take my daughter as well, but kind of go on a gastronomic safari. But, you know, I'll go by myself. I don't need nobody to go to New York with me. New York's one of my happy places. And I thought would have been back before now, you know?
Yeah. I get it. And, yay, thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. Swan Oyster Depot is still open. Oh, those clams. Oh, those oysters.
Ralph's in San Francisco?
No, Ralph's is in New Jersey, but she's the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department for everything I don't know.
Okay. Ralph's a Mentat.
Yes, Ralph's is a Mentat.
Yes. Come on, we got to get into the canon here. So have you seen Brave New World Episode 6, Season 2?
I've seen everything up to this evening. I haven't seen that yet.
All right, so this evening I think it's 9. I'm waiting for my streaming sites to pick up.
Yeah, to this evening is this evening is 9, and next week is the season finale 10.
I heard 8 was a Prime Star Trek, some battle thing.
8 was amazing.
Yeah, I heard it's Prime Star Trek, and I'm just waiting for it to get to the
So
thing.
Was 7.
6. I'm up to 6. 6 was like what it's like to have a concussion.
There, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like to have a concussion. You don't remember anything. You just remember what you feel. You don't remember details of why this person is important to you just as they are. It was bittersweet. I cried. I freaking cried.
And I can
really
see
like
that.
Starting to like this Captain Pike as a captain. I really like him. I don't know if I trade Captain Picard for him, but Captain Pike is more the prototypical Starfleet captain, you know?
Oh, Anson Mount is a fantastic actor, and Captain Pike is amazing. Oh, darn!
Yeah,
well, I knew there would have to be a cloud of doom somewhere in what I was just talking about. Tom in sunny San Rafael just sent Anchor Steam beer. Sad news: Anchor Steam is no more. A week or two ago, the mega corporation that owned it shut it down. Bastards! The employees are trying to buy it, but so far, no go. Oh, come on, San Francisco tech billionaire. Step the hell up.
I don't think we have any on our side. The closest thing we had is Ben Jerry, but they're not really billionaires. And Stephen Jobs, maybe, depending on how I felt that day. He's dead. And Stephen Wozniak is just cashing checks and getting blowed up at this point. So.
Okay, that's another one. You had to wait a long time. But you brought your A game. But now I got to wrap things up.
It's your fault. You talked for 2 hours and 42 minutes. You did. You want to shut up.
What?
I'm like Robin Lake's talking here.
What am I supposed to do when it's an information-rich afternoon?
All right. I'm not even mad.
And I've still got stories I didn't get to. I could do 2 more, but I'm exhausted and not... frankly, need to go to the potty.
We have talked about this day for 7 years, haven't we?
Yes. Yes.
So I can't even be mad at you. You could have done a 6-hour show today and gotten a half of it.
Right. So, I mean, you know, and I've still got to correct the uploads because this is the real Thorn in the Side Thursday. Maybe that's what I'll call it, the real Thorn in the Side Thursday, August 3rd. That way I don't have to go back and screw with the previous file.
Have you been to a Buc-ee's, by the way?
A Buc-ee's?
Yeah.
I have been in the parking lot of one, just east of Birmingham on I-20, but I couldn't get any closer than that. This thing's the size of a Walmart, and I could not get a single parking space.
Yeah, I want to go check that out. Our dumbass governor said there's a Buc-ee's opening up in the panhandle, Pensacola. And I'm like, well, I may have to go visit the racist. I'm not going to Texas, but I'll go to Pensacola.
Oh, they're in Alabama. I'm sure they're in Georgia, but I tell you, and you know what?
Nope, not going to Alabama. Just no.
I got an experience in Alabama. I'm not going to fight you. But here's the wild thing.
I went there and I was like, this shit's like the history books right here. And I need to haul ass because that doesn't end well for the black people. The white people might lose, but the black people usually don't do well. I feel like I'm wearing a red star character. That literally happened.
You're just piling them up. I feel like I'm wearing a red Star Trek shirt. Yeah. Let me tell you this. This is what amazes me. Don't ask me how I know. They are so big that, you know, they have individual department managers like, you know, food and gifts and, you know, fuel and stuff like that. They pay their department managers $100,000 a year. Their store managers pull down closer to two.
Yeah, I gotta go see that.
The regional managers. I think you'd need one of those computers that calculates the furthest digit of pi to figure out what a regional manager of Buc-ee's pulls down. And it's a convenience store. It's a really bougie convenience store. I mean, I'm a country girl. I'm impressed as hell by Sheetz and Wawa. But holy crap! Just driving through the Buc-ee's parking lot and seeing the throngs. Holy crap! And hey, I got to send out thanks. Thank you, Colin. Colin, thanks a bunch. Really appreciate it. So we are down now to 200 or no. I'm sorry, $460 to go to come up even with the beginning of August. Thank you so much, Colin. Thank you. And I got to go, Scary Jerry. It's been a blast, and I'm glad you...
It's been a great show. You've done the best show ever. I'm going to book it and point people to this as just me sounding good. And if when I reference your show and tell people about it, I'm going to tell them about this show, and I'm going to make them listen to the 2 hours and 43 minutes because it was all good. I love you. I love you, the horn community, and we'll do this again soon. Give yourself a hug and buy yourself something sweet.
I will. And Jerry, Annette will be tickled pink to know that you have goaded Curl Up and Die.
If we had hats, Annette would need a hat and a star today. She really would. And just, she would just cock it to the side. She'd live in that gangster life with the quips.
Yeah, I can see the smocks. I can imagine the logos. Some beautiful woman curled up in the fetal position with magnificent hair.
With a spilled martini glass.
Yeah, yeah. And of course the hats and the t-shirts would have to be black. No, gray.
Hey, you know what? Guess what? We live in the 21st century. Los Pollo Hermanos was not a real chicken place, although everybody wants to go there. This is already a beauty salon. Just it doesn't have any carrots yet. Seriously, it needs to be a t-shirt.
Well, I guess we're going to have to ask the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department to see if somebody's already come up with this. But God,
and if we don't, we need a website. It needs a website.
And the potential advertising tie-in, especially if it's next to the nail place on Castro Street, share the cost of the advertising.
You're not hearing me. We need
go get a hand job and curl up and die.
We need a fake. We don't need to actually do hair right now. That's messy and a pain in the butt. But the imaginary hair salon where Barbie goes. We live there already. We pay rent there. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's not like it would be the first bogus business we've dreamed up here. I will draw your attention to the short but delightful history of Horn Nutraceuticals.
Horn Nutraceuticals is good, but that heavy metals and that product negligence. When's that coming to court? That's a big one.
Jerry, have a good night, buddy. You take care now. See ya. Bye. Exit laughing, you know? So, wow. Thanks for a great night. I'll be honest. I feel like the last two nights have been as good as anybody out there is doing. And I don't say that very often. Y'all are amazing. So thanks, everybody. Thanks so much to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, Ralph, for the challenge this evening. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Steve. I hope you weren't too traumatized by Washington Journal yesterday and today. Thanks to our news ninjas. Like and subscribe, please. Leave a comment wherever you take the podcast. Podbean loves comments. Share, especially these last two. Share them. Share them around in your social network feed. Hell, tag me. That's community building right there. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Be safe, y'all. I knew I forgot something while I was out running errands today. I meant to buy a box of KN95s. Damn it! Wear your mask, especially if you're around the maggots. Oh my God, those people have no regard for anyone but themselves, and even themselves they're not too fond of. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry some with you, pocket or purse. I like my little bottle with the Go-Gru on it. I just refill it from a larger bottle. And listen, if some pinched-nosed, nasally master debater from Texas comes towards you on the sidewalk saying, Tanya Chutkan is a far-left liberal judge whom I happened to vote for to confirm and didn't even show up to the hearing for, well, avoid Ted Cruz like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.